during courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD, all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking a very serious question that becomes the issue of the moment. Can climate change or global warming start fires? Very succinctly put, the fires that are ravaging and raging, destroying lives and property in California, is that global warming? Is that climate change? Did that start it? If so, ladies and gentlemen, has God lost control of this whole world? If that is the case, is God's word a fraud? Where God promises in Genesis 8:22 that there'll be summer and winter, heat and cold, etc., etc., day and night until the end of time. Have we lost sight of the sovereign hand of God and His control? We're going to talk about that further in this broadcast, but right now we have Blake on the line. Blake, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Thank you again for the good work you do. Two comments about what you just shared with us. And the first one is that global warming, climate change, is a false narrative that was created by a higher institution, if you want to call that, in England. And there was a 1,500-page document that was printed or published that was widely refuted. So the first thing is they're dealing with a false narrative and pushing a false narrative to accomplish their goals. Okay, that's a fact. And if somebody wants that 15-page document, I'll email it to them. The second thing is that over and over again, repeatedly, there have been efforts that documented legislative efforts to provide for the public safety in California that have been violated. The $10 billion, however many billions of dollars that had been allocated years back to create reservoirs for protecting against such things as this. We know that Gavin Newsom shut off water headed south. So everything about this is contrived, and I guess the bottom line comes down to the fact that, and this is one of the things that Governor DeSantis is getting hammered on by the left-wing media, is they are calling out the Democrats for their bad acts, their bad management, their manipulation of laws, their failure to do what was necessary, clearly what we see out there in the press is that they're again like what we saw with for the last 4 years and even when Trump was in office and on there is an ongoing attempt to change and change the narrative so it doesn't expose the Democrats for who and what they are.
You're exactly right, Blake. In fact, climate change is not responsible for empty reservoir. I'm looking at a headline that says, it's simply negligence. This is criminal negligence. top stars blast LA officials over a dry reservoir. And I'll read this briefly portion. This is not simple negligence. This is criminal negligence, this writer says, documenting the scandal of the reservoir, which should hold 117 million gallons of water, and it was dry when the fires broke out. And it's been dry for a couple of years. As you said a moment ago, they were supposed to, they've gotten from the federal government billions, and I use that term, not millions, but billions of dollars over the years to set up dam systems and reservoir systems to have the water to keep it fertile in that portion of California, and they've not done so. They've destroyed, I could be corrected, but several dozen dams in the state of California over the past 25, 30 years that prevents them. They're allowing the water just simply to flow right into the ocean rather than damming it up and keeping it. And it's as a little result of a little small fish called the smelt fish. It's a fish that's about 2 inches long. It's for the most part translucent. And they say they're protecting those fish. And so as a result of washing the water right into the ocean to protect the fish so it doesn't kill the little darter delta smelt fish, they have lost control of the water supply in the state of California. In fact, they're pushing electric cars. They're pushing everything going to electricity. They're having blackouts and brownouts during the summers because they can't even produce enough electricity for their own houses, and at the same time destroying the infrastructure to give protection. Sean, you're exactly right. There's no such thing as global warming or climate change. It doesn't exist, and it can be proven by documentation of the very, very, very brief up and down fluctuation over the past 35, 40, 50 years in relationship to climate change. So it's all an ineptness on the part of the political leadership out there. And it's my prayer, Blake, that the people will be upset enough about this that they will change the leadership from top to bottom in the state of California. Just as, yep. I believe we need to change some leadership in the city of Jacksonville.
Yeah, and there's a linkage here between California and Washington and Jacksonville, in that the reality is that these people do these bad acts. These elected officials and these government officials do these bad acts, and they're not held accountable. But we see that in Washington as O'Biden is freeing people from Gitmo as he let his son walk for crimes that they haven't even held him accountable for, exposed from him. And what we see out in California is that Gavin Newsom, in the middle of the fires and this devastation, is the legislature has approved $50 million for a legal fund to fight Donald Trump and Donald Trump's attempt to restore some sense of sanity to the state of California, to bring the state of California back into its rightful place as a state in this union. And the bottom line is these guys don't have any accountability, and that's true here in Jacksonville. Yes. Just on and on and on. And we know that look at what happened. Donna Deegan took down the Women of Southland statue. City Council did nothing about it, even though it was clearly indicated that she violated codes and ordinances. And we're looking at a situation now with, if you don't mind me jumping into this, we're looking at a situation now where they're attempting to violate our free speech. They're attempting and this comes, by the way, from the Office of General Counsel. I'm working on my notes for public comment tonight. But, Randy White has been very clear that none of this came from him. And he stated that back in the Rules Committee last week. And so he's getting hammered for having come up with this, but he was only responding in his position as a city council president to a request from Office of General Counsel. So all of this nonsense is the General Office of General Counsel, and I have long held that OGC has been politicized and does not respond in its as it should to the entirety of an issue, but responds to what the mayor wants to have happen. It happened back when Curry took
yes sir. Right. with the Office of General Counsel, it is, in my most humble opinion, it's worthless and ought not to be in-house doing the preparation of proposed legislation for our city council, because they're going to do as the left says. They will follow the leadership and the mandate of the mayor's office, but express clearly to our listeners, you're talking about local city council 2024-871. So it's 871, right. And 871 deals with and it directly impacts our freedom of speech. Explain that more clearly to our listeners, and then explain to them about the meeting this evening at City Council at 5 o'clock and why people need to be there.
Okay, first of all, I want to give everybody my email address. And I will get to if you get me an email, your email address, or you send me an email saying that you heard me on Dr. Youngblood's show, if you get it to me in the next hour, I will send you my most recent email that I sent out. And that email address is a.blake.harper@gmail.com. Again, a.blake.harper@gmail.com. So I won't go into the history of how this came about. It just comes back to the old notion from Rahm Emanuel that you don't let a crisis go to waste, and that's exactly what they've done. And so there are three parts to 871. The first part, I'm going to talk about the two parts that are actually constitutional and make sense. The second part has to do with signage. Signs. Now, I was bringing signs in. I call them exhibits. I don't call them signs, but the law calls it a sign. I was bringing in exhibits to illustrate my point. And you will hear city council members talk about the fact that Blake was bringing signs in, and they were actually beneficial. So, what the Hamas crazies did is they brought something in that obstructed security, this line of sight of the security people. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to keep it so that we can bring signs in, but also maintain security. So number two is a good ordinance when they get it fixed for the size of the sign, and I think they will do that. The other one is the snapping of fingers. And again, this goes back to Hamas going crazy one back on October 22nd. And they're including the snapping of fingers in as a prohibited activity. So two and three are okay.
Let me interrupt for just a moment. All this that you're speaking of now, 871, is in the context of actions, responses, and protocol and policy and procedure in a city council meeting.
Correct. Specifically, right. Public comment in a city council meeting. Yes, sir.
Yes,
absolutely.
Ahead.
Thank you for that clarification. That's very important, folks. So this means that when you want to go down to city council and you want to speak your mind, they're trying to control that. That's what this is coming down to with item number one. Item number one is the offending issue, is the offending item, and it is unconstitutional. Eric Friday came down to Rules Committee last week and explained that what they were trying to do was they're trying to conflate a Florida statute that applies specifically to workplaces to city council, where open comment, where public discourse is provided for. And basically what they're trying to do is shut down conversations about candidates, parties, and statewide ballot initiatives, and that is flat out unconstitutional. And that's where the objection is, and that's why we have to stand up. Again, the whole mechanism that OGC is using is a misapplication of an existing Florida statute. They're wanting to say that because something applies in a workplace, which is called a non-public forum, they can use it to apply in city council, which is a limited public forum. The actual Florida statute applies specifically and only to employees, managers, and officers in their place of work. These guys can go out on the city hall steps and rant and rave all they want, because that's an open public forum, but they can't do it in their workplace. So that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to take that statute and apply it in a place that's unconstitutional.
And Blake, correct me if I'm wrong, but what we're speaking about is in a city council meeting where there's opportunity to give input from the citizens. That's an open public forum, and that is protected by the U.S. government, U.S. Constitution, that it is religious free speech, or it is commercial free speech, or political free speech, and cannot be infringed upon. Am I correct?
Correct. Michael Boylan is the floor leader. And when Michael Boylan gets up at the beginning of public comment, his introduction is, public comment is not required by law. We have public comment to hear your concerns. That's it, to hear your concerns. So what are your concerns? We want to hear what your concerns are. Now, you can't engage in dialogue with city council members. Many times, often, I will say, every so often, they will ask the person who comes to the microphone to go meet them and talk with them about their issue in the green room. Okay? So, no, you can't have conversation with them back and forth. You only get a specific limited period of time, and that's constitutional as well. So everybody gets the same amount. But the bottom line is, this is introduced in a way that it's entirely constitutional, and it needs to stay that way. Changing it is unconstitutional. They're inviting people to come down and share their concerns, whatever those concerns are.
Absolutely, and as you spoke of earlier, the attorney Friday, when he spoke, and I listened to by recorded video that you had sent on your link, I listened to his statement, and basically he said this, it de facto, 871 is unconstitutional. You need to kill the bill. You need to cancel any going forward. So that's my position. I agree with him completely based on our liberties with the freedom of speech. And so, therefore, give our listeners a challenge. What time should they be at City Hall? What should they say? How should they respond? And let's encourage people to pray and ask God to direct the hearts and the lives of our city council, that this will be voted down and not approved tonight.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to give you my email address one more time, a.blake.harper@gmail.com. And the reason for that is all the information Dr. Youngblood wants me to give you over the radio is in there. I've always said the worst pen is better than the best memory. So city council starts at 5 o'clock. Downtown on Duval Street. There's free parking, and again, in my email, I explained to you how to get free parking at the public library parking garage just to the east of it. The meeting starts at 5 o'clock. You have to have your public comment card filled out by 6 o'clock, and generally, the public comment is over with between 7 and 7:30. So the message that you want to tell them is to remove the restrictions on political speaking about political candidates, political parties, and statewide ballot initiatives. That is the bad part. And city council, my feeling is that city council is going to act favorably on the first two. I mean, on the last two, to limit the signs in a reasonable way, and to shut down the snapping of the fingers. What we have to do is we have to get city council to understand that item number one is unconstitutional, and they have to remove it from the ordinance. Now, I agree with you 100%, Dr. Youngblood. If they don't remove item number one, they have to kill the bill. But they need to absolutely remove item number one.
Absolutely. Blake, thank you so much for taking time and explaining that to our listeners. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you the urgency of this. It is incrementalism by most political machines. They start out with one bill, they modify it, they change it, they upgrade it, etc. If we let them get the camel's nose in the tent, the camel will be in the tent. We cannot allow our local city government in any way unconstitutionally removing our liberties and our freedom of speech. So I urge you to follow up and to let your voices be heard. Blake, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your insight, your wisdom, and all the work that you're doing on this. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the major thing that we're looking at is, can climate change or global warming cause fires? We're looking at the blaming that in California. Is that real? I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. That was an interesting call there.
Yes.
I do believe that that falls underneath redress of grievance, and it yes. is within the Bill of Rights, sir.
Absolutely.
California, well, they're having a unique situation out there. Originally, when California became a state, that's a semi-arid area, and they knew that in order to have a large population there, that they would need a proactive dams and reservoir program. Mm-hmm. If you've ever read any of Victor Davis Hanson's personal articles there, he goes into great detail the issues with water management in California, and they've completely failed. They actually passed a bill a few years back to expand their reservoir systems, but they've done nothing with it, but yet they've allocated the money out. This is a complete buffoonery on the Democratic Party that's running California. And
well, what
the other issue
with that, Jim, is they had the funds allocated, and then through the back door and through the shuffle of the funds, they've spent the money on other things.
Yes, sir. It's just like that monorail that they put in that's going absolutely nowhere. They've had the money, they've got the funds, but they've already spent it. They didn't spend it on what they were supposed to spend it on either.
Yes, that's right.
That money's gone. Poor forest management here in Florida. Anybody that wants to find out about forest management here in Florida, you can just go to the wildlife, and they've got a whole thing. They do controlled burns here. They clear out the brush. We've got fire breaks out in our national forest. It doesn't keep us from fires, but it does limit the severity of them.
Absolutely.
So, God,
Jim, I've got,
in his...
Jim, I've got a list of questions that I'll ask
yes,
you
sir?
Quickly, rapid fire, and then get you to respond to one or all of them. What's the evidence? What is the evidence of global warming causing the fires in California? Secondly, did global warming cause the water reservoir to be empty? Did global warming cause California to destroy all of its water reserve dams and divert the snow runoff and the water runoff into the ocean? Was global warming in any way caused the mayor to be in Ghana at a gala there when this took place and had made the promise not to do that? Did global warming and climate change cause the governor and other California politician leaders to in some way squander billions of dollars in federal funds that were provided to be used for infrastructure and divert to other uses? Did climate change or global warming really cause the California political leaders to refuse to clear the underbrush and the hundreds of millions of board feet of dead timbers on the ground that is fuel for a forest fire? Oh, was it global warming that in charge of the fire that changed the fire hydrants and made the fire hydrants to be dry and have no water in them for the neighborhood to have protection? Or did climate change prevent the California homeowners from being allowed to clear their own land, their own underbrush, so that they would be able to protect themselves? Now, did all of these things we know as facts around this catastrophe in California, did global warming cause all of those things? What say you, Jim?
Absolutely not. But if you believe that, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn, I can tell you.
That's right.
Cheap, very cheap. But no. One of the things they're finding out now is a lot of these professors and scientists that are retiring that were on board with all of this quackery are now coming forward and saying, since they're retiring, they don't have to worry about grant funds anymore. Now basically coming forward and saying, it's just a bunch of political nonsense. There's no empirical data for it. I don't know. There's a thing called the hockey puck or the hockey stick. I don't know if you've ever heard about that. It is in relation to the actual data set that the Brits had used and how they manipulated it to actually bring about this farce in a way that duped the public. People should find that and read it, because these people they're using every trick in the book to pass this off as global warming. Luckily, a lot of people are awake nowadays, and they're seeing this for what it is, and they're not blaming it on the global warming. They're blaming it on the politicians. So,
absolutely. And one of the things, Jim, and you may be more familiar with this than I am, but the time, approximately, how many years ago did we start measuring what they call global warming? When was the origin of that? And during this elongated period of time since its origin, have we seen any empirical evidence of what could be called true climate change or global warming?
No, outside of weather, no, none. we've got the seasons. Yeah,
we got
that's
the
right
seasons.
In there in Genesis.
That's right.
You know,
and God's promise God, we're going to have those seasons till the end of time.
Yeah. You know, he set this whole grand scheme up. He knew what he was doing. You know, modern physicists can't even figure it out, and a lot of them are coming to the conclusion that intelligent design is definitely on the table. So, if you got people that sit around and think of these wacky nut job ideas there, you've got other people that look at God seriously. Basically, Judeo-Christian values are the originator of modern-day science. I know a lot of people are going to say that's not true, but universities, hospitals, charity organizations, they all derive from Christianity. And now they want to turn their backs on it. So
absolutely.
Go figure, right?
And in fact, one of the things that, and I'll close on this thought and get your take on it as we close the broadcast today, but it seems to be the mindset with global warming and climate change that we're going to save the fish, we're going to save the snails, we're going to protect the birds, we're going to save the elephants, and by all means, we've got to save the turtles down at the beaches, and eliminate human beings. So a world without human beings, what's the goal? What's the purpose? What's the mindset? What do we, Jim, I can't understand the twisted mind that says we've got to eliminate human beings. And all of these so-called global warmest fruitcakes, they say that it's caused by human beings. So we need to stop the human beings and protect all of these elements. If that's the case, what did God create the world for? Why did he say in Genesis that we are to be in control? We human beings are to be in control of what is on this earth. I'll let you wrap up the thought and close our broadcast.
God said in the beginning there, he put Adam and Eve in the garden to be stewards. We were to be good stewards of this world. There are just some people that are using these snake oil salesman tactics there to gain power and money and control. And they're willing use anything they can to accomplish the goal.
That's right. It's a power control lever that they're trying to use, a political control element. Jim, thank you so much for your call today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Here's a minute to inspire fresh hope in your busy day.
We've all been created with three God-given inner needs.